Stobi is an ancient city built on the confluence of the two largest rivers in the Republic of Macedonia, Erigon and Axios, spread on three terraces sloping gradually towards the east and the Erigon River. Its strategic position on the main road connecting the Danube and the Aegean had a crucial role in its development as a commercial and administrative center, with its main chronology concerning the period between the 2nd century BC and the 6th century AD. The research of the many aspects of its architectural remains and the archaeological finds led to the general conclusion that during its existence, Stobi remained a city oriented towards the east, although influences from the west are also present, making it a place where the east and the west collide. This is visible especially in the inscriptions in Stobi in the theater seats written with Greek letters, implying a very strong Hellenistic tradition, according to, of course, James Wiseman. The importance of the city was emphasized in the second half of the 5th century AD when it became the capital of the province Macedonia Secunda. During this long period of its existence, besides its geographic position, many factors influenced the shape and urban layout of the city. Historical context, demographic composition of the population, their social and economic status, and religious beliefs as the main engine for the shaping of the city, as well as the forces of nature and, of course, warfare. The first written source mentioning Stobi comes from Livy, referring to earlier information by Polybius, identifying Stobi as a Paeonian urbe vetere. The premise that Stobi was already an old town in the 2nd century BC opens many questions regarding its foundation, size, urban layout, and chronology. The scarce information which can be associated to the Hellenistic period leads to a presumption that the central core of the old town of Stobi, or its acropolis, should be located on the northern part of the highest terrace. An indicator of the southern boundary of the city is the concentration of Hellenistic burials discovered in the area of the later House of Peristeria. From a small town during the Hellenistic period, Stobi grew in importance in Roman times. It was mentioned by Pliny as an oppidum civium Romanorum in the time of Augustus, and a while later it rose to the rank of municipium, minting its own coinage from the reign of Vespasian to the reign of Caracalla. In order for a town to gain the status of oppidum civium Romanorum, it must have had an existing conventus of Roman citizens, beside the native population. Many of the citizens of Stobi enjoyed Ius Italicum and belonged to the tribi of Aemilia and Tromentina. In Augustan time, the city largely expanded its area toward the south and east, confirmed by the building of new fortification walls, suggesting that Stobi was a very important strategic point in this region at the time. Additional safety brought significant economic growth and attracted people looking for an improvement in the quality of life. Indubitably, during the 1st century AD, the face of the city was drastically changed as a direct consequence of building activities that were undertaken to fill the newly expanded fortified area. There are deposits dated to this period identified in different parts of the city, but not fully excavated buildings. Therefore, any serious conclusions regarding the urban layout of the city in this period cannot be drawn. The necropolis was moved further towards southwest, outside of the newly built main gate, Porta Heraclea. In the aerial photographs made in the 1930s on the left bank of the river Vardar, there are visible structures opening the possibility for the city expanding in that area. The size of the city in this period has been measured to approximately 20 hectares, although that number excludes the part on the left bank of the river, which would presumably increase the size of the city at least twice. Unfortunately, that area has been a part of the biggest military training facility in the Republic of Macedonia, where excavations have been impossible to conduct. This year, a one-day survey was taken out on the left bank of the river, possibly identifying a harbor on the Axios River. As it grew in importance, Stobi became the largest city in the northern part in the Roman province of Macedonia, and consequently, during the Pax Romana, it was part of large building campaigns, as is the case throughout all the provinces of the empire. Most of the known buildings specifically connected to public life were erected at the turn of the 1st to the 2nd century or in the first half of the 2nd century AD. The building with arches, the temple of Isis and Serapis, and the theater. Stobi in imperial times was a city of wealthy patrons, whether those were the emperors themselves or some of the more prominent families in the town, who had knowledge of the contemporary architectural and artistic fashion and taste. We can consider the lavishly decorated building with arches and very likely the theater as structures imposed by the imperial will, but not the temple of Isis and Serapis, which is a private donation by a wealthy Stobian. It is possible that the Sacrum Isidi of the Augustal Titus Flavius Longinus, dedicated to Deo Caesari, to the Municipium Stobi and its citizens, is actually the recently discovered temple at the southeastern part of the city. Not only public buildings were architecturally grandiose structures abundant in rich painted or sculpted decoration, some of the few known residential buildings which date in the same period were also elaborately decorated. Those are the urban villa called Casa Romana, built next to the eastern city wall and very close to the Cerna River, and the house of Polycharmos, named Achirios, the father of the Jewish community in Stobi, another wealthy benefactor of the city. He donated part of his house along with the equipment to serve the religious needs of his people as a synagogue. Unfortunately, all these buildings from the Roman period are distant from each other, so that we can elaborate on the functionality and relation of the buildings within the city's urban grid. The Cardus and Decumanus haven't been identified yet, and it is very difficult to follow early Roman urban development without this starting point. What can be extrapolated from the remains is that public buildings were mainly built on the lowest and middle terrace, and that the center of public life was located on the lowest terrace of the city, to which the position of building with arches and the temple of Isis and Serapis certainly attest. The size of the terrace also played a significant role in the planning, it being at least twice the size in comparison to the two higher terraces. The city obviously went through major changes in the course of the 4th century. The revealed public or private buildings, especially multiple richly decorated and quite large residences, are concentrated on the middle and upper terrace and organized along the main streets of the city. They attest to economic prosperity during the 4th century. Insufficient information of Stobi's urban layout in the imperial times does not give a clue to what extent the city was changed during late antiquity, especially regarding the street network. Beside the upcoming drastic changes in the empire's policy on a social, political, and religious plan, especially during the reign of Constantine and in the period that followed, there are a couple of other reasons for the changes of the urban layout which preceded the 4th century. Namely, in the second half of the 3rd century AD, the raids of Goths and Herulian tribes are well recorded in the sources, and these raids probably did not exclude Stobi. The extent of the damages done in these raids is not known or confirmed by the excavations so far, so we will not comment on this further. On the other hand, the geological framework in Stobi, done in the 1970s, suggests that the region of Stobi was quite xeric since early in our era. The earthquakes and floods that happened were an important factor of the development of the urban image of the city and finally led to its imminent abandonment at the end of the 6th century. So far, there are a couple of earthquakes confirmed through archaeological remains. The first occurred in or around AD 300, as attested by evidence found during the excavations in a theater in the 1970s by the joint Yugoslav-American project in Stobi. These assumptions were confirmed by the excavations by NI Stobi staff between 2009 and 2016 in a theater, identifying cracks and repairs in the radial walls. The coin found during conservation of one of the walls in the mortar placed the repairs after 326 or 328 AD. The same earthquake is also confirmed by the state of the Temple of Isis, and Serapis, and the building with arches. The cracks in the masonry, the damaged walls, and sunken foundations on the front part of the temple, as well as on the large part of the mosaic floors in Opus Sectile in the building with arches and its walls, provide enough evidence for this event. There is also a possibility that the large bath was constructed as a consequence of this earthquake, as it was built on top of a possible earlier public building. The earthquake affected the fortification wall as well, evident in the southeastern inner tower. In all of these buildings, repairs in the course of the 4th century AD were clearly visible, and most of them kept their original function and appearance at least to the end of the same century. Soon after Christianity became a legitimate religion in the Roman Empire, Stobi became an episcopal see. Bishop Budius participated at the Ecumenical Council at Nicaea in 325 AD, and the names of three more bishops are known from the later councils: Nicolaus in Chalcedon in AD 451, Ioannes in Constantinople in 680, and Margaritas in Trullo in 692. This attests to Stobi's importance as an episcopal see in the Christian ecumen, not only to the rise in the general acceptance of Christianity in the region, but also as a part of the body forming Christian doctrine and practice. Some other Stobaean bishops, as we will see later, were responsible for the planning and expansion of the ecclesiastical complexes, as they appeared as benefactors in construction or remodeling of the churches. There must have been Christian community existing in Stobie before the official recognition of Christianity, for the first signs can be found in the inscription on the theater seats. Some revered Christian names, such as Gaios and Petros, as well as inscriptions of crosses probably identifying Christian families, are found on these seats, dating in the period between the late 2nd and the early 3rd century AD, according to, again, James Wiseman. In this early period, presumably, religious practice was fulfilled in private houses called Domus Ecclesiae. There was an attempt to identify a Domus Ecclesiae in Stobie by Blaga Alexoa below the nave of the early church and right behind the still-functional theater. Other scholars disagree with this assumption, since the archaeological evidence does not provide sufficient information for such identification. Only its position underneath the oldest church in Stobie goes towards this theory that this might be a Domus Ecclesiae, but it has been deemed not enough. The possibility of an existence of such a place in Stobie still stands, but it has not been discovered or confirmed so far. The architectural change in regard to the previous norms in the empire came in the form of Christianity's first monumental appearance via construction of churches in important positions not only inside the city walls but also outside of them. More often than not, there are whole complexes of rooms and adjacent buildings that were designed in order to increase the desirability and accessibility of these ecclesiastical complexes, everything to attract new believers and keep the existing ones satisfied. It would be very difficult to establish a pattern of these locations, since every city is a story in itself, and churches were built in different periods, in different areas, and in different circumstances. The visit of the Emperor Theodosius in Stobie has been confirmed in the year 388 AD, as he announced two edicts while visiting. His visit is of crucial importance for Stobie in relation to the oldest early Christian basilica built in the city, because various scholars connect the visit of Theodosius with its construction or reconstruction. Namely, in the second half of the 4th, most probably in the last quarter of the 4th century, the old episcopal basilica was built, positioned behind the outer wall of the theater. The building of the church coincides with the building of churches throughout the province of Macedonia, for example, churches in Thessaloniki and Dion, a key part of the first monumentalization of Christianity in the region. Its position right behind the place where a lot of Christians were brought in front of a crowd for entertainment, public shaming, and probably execution was a symbol of the growth of importance and influence of the religion in Stobie. It was redesigned and enlarged somewhere between AD 425 and 450 by the Bishop Eustathius, who marked his name for eternity in the mosaic pavement of the extended nave. This marks the beginning of the changes for which Christianity had a greater role, causing redesigning of the earlier structures, some of them for the new purposes, such as the case with the building with arches and the Temple of Isis, while others like the theater went out of use and served as a stone quarry for the new buildings. The lower part of the city was probably reorganized around that time as a direct consequence of a natural disaster. Floods of the Cerner of the Aragon River have been confirmed in the excavated areas on the eastern inner city wall. As a result, part of the city next to the left bank of the Aragon River was abandoned, including the urban villa Casa Romana, and a new inner fortification wall was probably built sometime in the beginning of the 5th century AD. The floods and earthquakes changed the course of the urban development of the city, especially regarding the areas that people could live in. The major impact of the ecclesiastical architecture in shaping the look of Stobie occurred in the second half of the 5th century. Construction of the large episcopal basilica in the last quarter of the 5th century AD by Bishop Philip caused a crucial change in the cityscape. Because of its position on an artificial terrace around 4 meters above the original floor level of the old episcopal basilica, it has been also called the Basilica on the Terrace. The scenery in this part of the city was drastically changed after the removal of the Summa Cavea of the theater. A large amount of the building material from the theater was used in the construction of the church. It was the most dominant building in that part of the city in the following 180 years, and with this position it not only dominated the views of Christians, but also those of non-believers, at the same time solidifying the position of power of the church in the city. The purpose of constructing this extension on which the Basilica on the Terrace was placed was exactly this, extending the highest terrace above the middle one and dominating above all other buildings in the city. Both phases of the Episcopal Basilica perfectly describe the development of Christian monumental architecture in the city between the end of the 4th and the end of the 6th century AD. Its position is very important, since with the construction of the church, the baptistry, and the surrounding complex, the center of city life was moved in this area. The colonnaded street from the side of the basilica, as well as the building of the Sigma Square right across the street sometime after the building of the church, and the proximity to the Porta Heraclea ensured a continuous flow of common folk, tradesmen, believers, and non-believers alike that visited or lived in the city. Entering the city, they first would notice the grandiose basilica on one side, dominating over other buildings, which was probably one of the original intentions behind raising the level of the basilica. The construction of the Sigma Square marked the moving of the city center from the traditional forum on the lower terrace and was probably built here to attract as many people as possible. The Sigma Square was actually a series of shops and workshops that were placed around its semicircular central area. The commercial purpose of this complex largely contributed towards the frequency of people passing through Via Sacra and at the same time next to the basilica on the terrace. On the other hand, because of the floods on the lowest terrace, the highest terrace of the city was more densely inhabited. Test trenches excavated during the American Yugoslav project in the 1970s discovered that the orientation of the street called Via Sacra was not changed in order to accommodate the building of the church, concluding that the atrium of the basilica has an irregular shape because it was constricted to the already existing street. Although it is worth mentioning that the direction of the street changed slightly with the building of the colonnaded part. The basilica on the terrace is a symbol of the growing influence of the church and its bishops towards the end of the 5th century AD. This is probably the peak of the power of the religion and the church's influence in Stobi. With the basilica on the terrace dominating the cityscape, the rising interest in the sense of the rising number of believers fostered a need for building of new churches inside the city walls as well as outside. In the course of the 5th century AD, three basilicas in the central part of the city were built, obviously with previous planning, since they are all very well aligned. In the second half of the 5th century AD, the central or so-called synagogue basilica was constructed on top of the previous synagogue. Consequently, the neighboring house of Polyharmos, the house of the father of the Jewish community in Stobi, was probably adapted as a house for the clergy serving in the basilica. After the building of the church and the inexplicable abandonment of the Jewish community of the city, there was a mosaic placed in the triclinium of the house with a clear Christian iconography. The north basilica, which also had a small baptistry, was constructed in the late 5th or early 6th century AD, further to the north on the same street. It has been suggested that these buildings were part of the same building program. The third one, so-called civil basilica, was built between the north and the synagogue basilica, even though there are doubts that it is an actual basilica, since besides the architectural shape of three-aisled basilicas, it lacks any other features or finds which could relate its function with Christianity. Unfortunately, the documentation from its excavation was lost during the Second World War. There has been other ideas regarding the function of this building. Weissman contemplates the possibility of it being the boule of the city. Unfortunately, the street network of Roman Stobi is unknown, so that we can debate whether these new buildings adjusted towards the streets or vice versa. As we saw earlier, this is only possible on Via Sacra, and the conclusion is that the street was moved a little bit in order to accommodate the colonnaded part of the complex. Still, the shortened atrium clearly indicates that the building of the complex was adjusted to the already existing street when it was built. In the same period, three more basilicas were built outside the city. The cemetery basilica, the Basilica Extramuros, also equipped with a baptistry, and the basilica in the village of Palikura, about 2 kilometers southwest of Stobi. The construction of the basilica on the terrace, the three possible basilicas, one next to the other inside the city, as well as three more extramuros, represents the largest sacral building campaign in Stobi, comparable in size to the one during the Pax Romana. Again, many events contributed for the decline and gradual abandonment of the city post 584-5 AD. After AD 535, the provinces Macedonia Secunda, Dardania, Dacia Mediterranea, Prevalitana, and other northern provinces were brought together under the church administration of the newly created archbishopric called Justiniana Prima. In the 6th century AD, as attested by previous scholars, there are at least two different earthquakes confirmed. The first one is well known and happened in 518 AD when it struck 24 cities in Dardania, a point of interest for Marcellinus Comes in his Chronicon, for the earthquake was, according to him, a massive destruction beyond imagination. He implied obliteration for cities in the province Macedonia as well, but he never named any in particular. The proximity of Stobi to Skupi in Dardania is very small, only 80 kilometers, so it's not out of the question that the earthquake was also felt in Stobi. The archaeological information that we have so far do not offer sufficient backing for this to be a devastating earthquake for Stobi, since the damages noted in the buildings from that period are not that significant. The other earthquake confirmed with archaeological evidence is placed later, in the early years of the reign of Justinian. It is visible in the repairs of the Sigma Square, the Episcopal Basilica, the fortification walls, and the houses excavated in the area between the Sigma Square and the southwestern part of the fortification. The walls have vertical cracks and destroyed parts which were carelessly repaired. The northwest fortification wall and the towers through its length have visible sinking, vertical cracks, and larger destroyed parts, also repaired in a worse manner than the original one. Large cracks are also visible on the aforementioned inner tower in the corner of the south defensive and inner eastern fortification wall. All identified earthquakes were not devastating for life in the city because the city lived on after each of them. There is also a probable earthquake that happened after the abandonment of the city, attested by multiple discovered houses with destruction layers of roof tiles, with stones and mud brick all fallen at the same time and in the same direction. The process of abandonment probably lasted for a longer period, and the terminus postquam that the excavations can offer so far remains AD 584-85, in relation to the coin hoards buried underneath the floor levels of the houses just before the Avars and Slavs reached the region. As we can conclude from all that was previously presented, the urbanization of the city changed throughout its existence. Among many factors, Christianity had a large influence in the cityscape, especially with the building of the ecclesiastical complexes which affected the urban planning. The face of the city was quite different before and during Christianity, not only because of the building of monumental churches that shaped the city's urban core, but also as a consequence of many other factors, socioeconomic factors, raids of the invaders, climate change, and, as we spoke before, tectonic movement. The excavation of the streets in the already excavated areas would answer many questions regarding the adjustments that were made regarding the area of building for the basilicas. Four basilicas inside the city walls and three more extramuros is a very significant number regarding the dominance of the religion in Stobi. From the end of the 4th century, when there was only one church in Stobi, the rise in numbers and believers was significant and required the building of more Christian temples. This would probably be the main reason for that many churches in not that big of an area, as well as the solidifying and increasing the influence of the religion in Stobi. Slowly but surely, other religions were gradually reduced and eventually extinguished, leaving Christianity as the dominant religion in the city. Thank you for your attention.
For that wonderfully clear and very interesting account. You said that the excavations underneath the church in an attempt to locate a domus ecclesiae did not prove conclusive, but could you say a little bit more about what they did find there?
Yes, it was excavated twice. So the first time it was in the central nave of the old Episcopal Basilica. So the first time it was excavated in 1983 till 1986, I think, by Blaga Alexoa, and she discovered a couple of walls filled up with no floor levels, nothing to actually be connected to the architecture, not discovering any finds in a closed context. It was all basically fill. So probably what happened was when they built the old Episcopal Basilica, whatever was underneath, they actually raised it and just left a couple of walls and just filled it with later layers. We finished the excavations in 2010, and it only confirmed that all of the area underneath the central nave was filled with older material.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for an extremely lucid talk. I've never been to Stobi, and I intend to go sometime. A great deal depends on the dating evidence, doesn't it, for this, for the churches especially.
Yes.
Can you say a little bit more about how those main sequence of churches are dated. Is it coin evidence? Is it pottery evidence? Is it architectural comparisons?
Unfortunately, most of the churches, the Civic and the North Basilica, were excavated during the period between the two world wars. The National Museum back then in Belgrade was in charge of the excavations, and the last account that we have from them that during the Second World War all of the documentation was burned. We have no information whatsoever, and Caroline Snively and James Weissman have extensively tried to locate that documentation. I think they've been in the museum numerous times, and to no avail. So the ones that are dated, especially the Episcopal Basilica, because that was excavated by the American Yugoslav Project, is based mainly on coins, but also in comparison with the pottery evidence. So it would not be easy for me to say that I could talk about the dating of the churches that we do not have any documentation for. But for the Episcopal Basilica, I am really sure about the documentation that and the finds that they found. They decided not to put a sharp date on the building of the first basilica, although in the layers that were actually underneath when they placed the base for the church, they actually found a coin. I think it's a Valentinian between 360 and 370 AD. They have avoided publishing that fact. I mean, I think Weissman has that fact published somewhere, but in their later texts, they avoid saying specifically that it's after 370. You always use the term the last quarter of the 4th century, or even in some places, as time passes by. In the latest articles, they claim that they would not be inclined to say that it's earlier than 480.
380 or
480?
480, so. I did have the heretical thought that when they demolished the upper caviar of the theatre, mm-hmm. which seems an odd thing to do,
yes.
couldn't that have provided the material for the building of the basilica, rather than, as
yes.
I understood it, the other way
yes,
down,
but
the basilica was already there, and then they thought, oh, it's a bit of an eyesore here, we better get rid of the upper caviar.
The fact is that the old Episcopal Basilica and the theater coincided. So they were existent at the same time. But when they rebuilt it, when they redesigned it at the beginning of the 5th century, when the theater was already out of use, they definitely decided that they're going to destroy the bigger half of it. And there are multiple places in the building that you can see theater seats, you can see bigger parts of the sidewalls of the theaters. So, I'm guessing that it was intentional. Yes.
Thank you so much for this great example of Christianization in Macedonia. I would like to ask if you can give us some information about the cemeteries of the town. So we haven't heard anything about it. And yesterday we had such great lectures about the cemeteries in Corinth. Can we see something about Christianization in the cemeteries too?
Yes, just a second. So. The Western Acropolis, the part that you see marked here, was in use, as I said, from the time of Augustus, so in some period in the 1st century BC, all the way till the beginning of the 4th century AD. In the 4th century, in the later 4th century, above this necropolis, it was they built houses. So above the necropolis, there is a full settlement from the, I would say later, at least later 4th century, because it will be too small of an amount of time in order for people to be buried there in the early 4th century and then just 20 years later everyone to build a house on top of them. I think it's impossible. So just to be safe, I would say that probably at the end of the 4th century the cemetery was moved. In this part here, I cannot show it, so sorry. Yeah, so all the way throughout this northwestern fortification wall, In 2010 and 11, we had excavations that we found around 278 graves, which were identified and dated according to only coins, because there was no other finds in there. And the grave forms that were present there were more or less the same as the colleague showed yesterday. There is a couple of graves that were interesting because they were wrapped in cloth and the cloth was really well preserved. But aside from that, there is nothing that I would be able to talk about more. There was a thing that out of 280 graves, I think that around 100 were children burials. So that is a significant information that could probably change one's thinking of if it was an acropolis or if it was a place where only, I don't know, I'm just thinking maybe sick people were buried there, maybe, I don't know, small kids that died during, like, really their infancy. Aside from that, there are no graves found on other places outside of the city walls. So, for example, in Stobi, we have no sarcophagi found yet, and we know of an existence of Roman citizens that moved from somewhere to here. They would not change their way of burial just because they moved. So I'm guessing that there is some area, maybe on the other side of the river, maybe on the other side of the other river because it's on the confluence, but we have not excavated in those areas, so I would not be able to say anything else about that.
Thanks for this excellent talk. I learned a lot from it. Very nicely presented as well. Just a general question about urban topography, because obviously the main point of your talk was the long-term development
Yes.
of the city itself and its physical, its architectural context. Having worked for many years at an ancient port site, I'm constantly reminded that the water at such sites is itself an important traffic route that can be an element, let's say, in the orientation of all kinds of things, of course, activity, but also architecture, the layout of an urban,
yes,
an urban center. And the rivers are such an essential condition for the character of the site.
Yes.
Just a simple question. Do you see, I might have missed this, but you said that there seems to be a harbor, river harbor.
Yes.
But that it's inaccessible because of the military
yes.
base,
is that
right?
That is close to the north side.
Okay.
So it was only a survey mm-hmm. because you need 1,000 clearances to get in there.
Yeah.
So we did a small survey, three of us, three colleagues, and there was around 15 soldiers around us. I don't know what they expected we were going to do, but we marked an area that we really think that it's a harbor because it's shaped as a couple of boats could actually stop there. So we know that Axios was actually, you could flow boats on it, so... We do not have any information from the sources of a harbor in Stobi, but that does not mean anything, unfortunately.
Do you see any evidence in the excavated zones in the city that the harbor was maybe a point of reference for the topographic development of the city? Maybe there was an entrance on that side or a basilica that was oriented in the direction of the harbor itself as a point of entry, let's say. Just a general question.
So, again, unfortunately, that side of the site was destroyed by building a highway and building a railroad. I think the railroad was built during the First World War, and then the highway was built after the Second World War. So, as you can see, we have only small parts of the fortification wall on that side, and those are actually uncovered with the building of the highway. There were no excavations there. So the shape there actually shows that maybe there could be a gate, but because there was no excavations there, it really, the entrance that you see there is actually not, it's really wide. I would say probably more than 3 meters. So that would be, I don't know, I wouldn't be sure to say that that would be enough for a gate, but for an entrance, yes, definitely.
Yeah, with so many basilicas at Stobie, perhaps there was a riverfront basilica.
Why not?
Who will know?
Yeah. Hopefully in the next years.
If there is still time, I was really struck by this Jewish inscription. So, and then the conversion of the local synagogue. So could you please tell us more about the local organization of the Jewish community and a little bit more about this synagogue conversion in terms of date, or what is this house of the Psalms?
Yes.
Thank you.
So the idea is that, as you can see in the inscription, one of the more wealthier people in Stobie had a central spot in the city with his house. He decided, for the needs of his people, to actually give his house to the Jews to actually build a synagogue. From the synagogue, the information that we have that it actually tells us that it is a synagogue, we have a fresco of a menorah on one of the sides of the walls. How and why they left the city, we don't know, but we know that the building of the basilica on top of it coincided with no more mentioning of the Jewish community in the city. So if, for example, I'm talking, if I were Jewish and if someone built a basilica on top of my temple, I was definitely going to leave the city. So in the same time when the basilica was built, they actually placed a mosaic floor with two deer flanking acanthros in the triclinium of the house, which we know was the house of a Jewish rich person. So I think that when the basilica was built on top of it, the moment when that happened, and maybe even sometime before, all of the Jews in Stobie left the city. To where, we don't know, but they definitely did not live in the city. At least we do not have any information for it. I mean, who knows? There is a lot of area of the city that is not excavated, so maybe they built a bigger synagogue. But that would be just speculation. There would be no way for me to confirm that.
The inscription seems to say that Polycarpus sees it coming, but he precisely intends to protect his structure, doesn't it?
Yes, yes.
One more question about the cemeteries. If I understood well, mm-hmm. you said that the 280 graves that you found along the northwestern wall were extramurals, right?
Yes.
Okay. Did you find any burials intramurals inside, close to the churches, maybe, or other?
From that period, no. So from the period when the city lived, when the city was still active, no. There are 11th century. Burials around the North Basilica, and we have attested the presence of an army in the 11th century. I don't really remember which was the source. And in the excavations in 2008 on this eastern fortification wall, in the destruction layer outside, we found 10 or 11th century coins. So the presence of people was definitely, I mean, they were here, but I don't think it was an active city life. So to answer your question, I think that inside we do not have burials per se. It was only the ones that I mentioned yesterday of small children, even infants probably, dug in the floor levels of the houses of the 6th century, which is something that I still have no explanation for.
I have only a short note to the Jewish inscription. The year 311 in all probability corresponds with the provincial era. That means 163.4. This is a very early and unique document.
Sixty-three four.
Any other questions? I have one last question.
164, but
63.
Yeah.
So Antoninus Pius.
Yeah.
Of course. Any other questions?
Comes from
no. And thank you very much once again.
Thank you.